Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Give me a young lady with a voice message. The boys are all on Quaaludes today. Yeah, they're freaking Derek out, but...
Because, man, they all sound so sad, bro. Nobody's like, hey, Dr. Drew, man, first off, love you, buddy. Like, nobody's... Everybody's like, Dr. Drew.
I know, today's that day.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody, welcome to After Dark. Do keep those voice messages coming at 818-253-1693. And, of course, the emails. We have lots of great emails today coming at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. And should we talk about merchandise? YMH.store, I can never remember.
Store.ymhstudios.com.
There it is. Thank you, Zoll. Appreciate it very much. Today, it is Derek Poston. He's a comedian, host of Spoil the Beans podcast. He'll tell us about it in just a second. You can follow him on Instagram at Derek with a C, D-E-R-I-C, Poston, P-O-S-T-O-N. And he is Harkins from Tennessee, but now here in Austin. Welcome.
Harkins.
Harkins, yes.
Harkins from Tennessee. God damn, dog.
Already we're starting off right.
Oh, man. Whoa. What is that word actually like? What's the definition of what it
mean? I mean, hearken is like to call from, right? Hearken. But I think it also has the, you have to pull it up, Zoll. Give me a little definition there. It's going to have, means ventures from, I think it would be. Something like that.
Yeah. Technically, I hearken from San Diego.
Hearken, Tom's. Keep going. Oh, you're from San Diego originally?
I was born in San Diego. Dad was in the Navy, moved to Memphis when I was like six.
Cool.
And then lived there until comedy.
Dude, can't we just get a definition of hearkens there? You've got all this, these...
It just says listen.
No, but then... listen, well, let's...
He refused to hearken to Tom's words of wisdom.
Yeah. Look up... Yeah, hearken definition. This is. I never thought we'd be spending time doing this, but here we are. Keep going. Hark is to yell towards somebody, kind of. Hark. Hearken from. Here, look at definition. There we go. Can you read that? We can't read it.
To give respectful attention,
to bring to mind something in the past.
Technically, yeah.
To bring to mind something in the past. From. There you go.
I'll give you that one. I think,
we're getting close. Any event, so tell me about the podcast. I'm more interested in that.
I do a podcast, a movie podcast, where I tell my friends movies that they haven't seen, but like classic movies that they've never seen, and I tell them the whole movie start to finish, and I do the songs, my nigga. I do the voices and the characters. I do everything.
Do you study it, the particular film, before you go to the
podcast?
Well,
usually it's a movie. 9 times out of 10, it's a movie like Titanic or a movie like fucking, you know, Forrest Gump or something like that, right? Like it's a big movie where I've already seen it a bunch anyway, and then I'll watch it before the podcast, take notes, and then I'll just kind of throw it up on them.
And so when I think about classic movies, I think about Black and White and Cary Grant and Betty Davis. Are you getting all the way back?
No,
to
when I think classic, I think like You've Got Mail. You know what I mean? Like that's a classic movie
90s,
to me. 90s. The farthest, like Godfather is probably as far back as like,
right.
I get as far as where I could probably connect with you of what would be a classic.
Yeah.
But in my head, like The Matrix is a classic.
Yeah. But I'm guessing you go into the 70s because there was a lot of stuff that went on in that decade with like The Shining. And
I've never seen The Shining.
What?
Yeah.
There's a couple movies. You do a podcast on classic movies.
I know. I've seen everything a million times. And then the things that I haven't seen, I've just avoided them because I'm going to save it for the podcast.
See, it's one thing I would imagine pretty commonly that, because when I was thinking about your podcast, I was thinking, well, you know, how many 20 or 30 somethings have seen black and white films? I thought that that's what you'd be telling them about. But the fact that they hadn't seen Titanic or hadn't seen You've Got Mail or whatever, it's sort of weird to me. Do you have to cast the show, I guess, by what the person you're interviewing had not seen?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So, because it started with my best friend, that's why I created the podcast with Hassan, and because he hadn't seen anything. My best friend hadn't seen
why
anything. He's brown. That's the best. He was brown, so they didn't let him see nothing.
What?
Yeah, he was like raised like a really intense brown family in Cupertino, you know, in that rich Silicon Valley area. And so he was very studies, and that's all he did. Like, so he didn't see movies at all.
So he was like elitist, yes. Like ultra, like goofy parenting.
Yes. His parents are the best too, but yes. Very goofy parenting. Very tiger mom, dad.
Okay.
But his dad's like, works at NASA, and his mom's like owns her own dentistry. You know, like super.
What's their ethnicity?
Bengali.
Oh, see. Yeah. So there's all these immigrants. They're immigrants. Yeah. So immigrants, people have studied this, and they come here with sort of three or four different kinds of attitudes towards the next generation, which is you have a special purpose. You know, we came here on a mission. Wow. You have to delay gratification. You don't get to do anything fun. You don't do anything. You don't get to see any movies. Study.
Wow.
And then, you know, focus on education. That's the big thing. And so they come, delay gratification, special purpose, excel at school. And then involvement from the parents in the school part.
Wow. Yeah. And then he, now he's a comedian. So all that backfired.
By the time it's a third generation, it kind of reverts to the rest of us.
So. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't notice that of like, because it's like also you're hanging around white kids all day. Like you're in, like, because I was a point of private school too. So it's like, oh, wow, that's a big part of it. You're just hanging around rich white kids all day. So right. you're gonna assimilate. You're going to act.
Well, it's rich any kids, right?
Yeah, really. It's rich kids.
It really is a class thing more than a race thing, right?
Yeah, well, I've never been to a school with all rich black kids, so I'd like to know that school.
Well, no, I'm not saying that there is such a place, but I'm saying it really does. The part that you're getting infected by is not the whiteness, it's the class.
That's
the
true. Richness. That is true. Good point. Yeah, Goddamn, you're right.
I think so. I mean, the whiteness doesn't help.
Because in my head, it's like, man, when I think of rich private schools, it's always... It's white, and then now it's like you'll see brown and Asian.
Yeah.
Because like even in my school, I remember.
And brown's a mix.
Yeah. Brown's a mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, because brown, that.
Because brown's Nigerian, Bengali, Indian, you know, Southeast Indian.
But yeah. Hey, everyone, when I said it, knew what I meant.
You know what? I knew what you meant, but it's kind of an interesting topic. Because to me, the thing that troubles me is that it's still infected by something I would call white supremacy. Because it's the white sort of historical view that is just infecting everything. And we don't stop and go, how does this look for somebody whose family had a different experience? And really, maybe they are now.
Wow.
Maybe, were they trying when you were in private school?
No. I mean, I remember like even like Black History Month talking about Martin Luther King. Luther King, that was a thing.
Yeah.
That was like a thing. Talking about Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Like, let alone trying to get Nate, like Malcolm X, like just a little
or
further.
Just let's look at the history of what happened here.
None
what
of
do
that.
We think about it? And what, you know, what did that do to people? And
yeah.
Who were those fuckers?
But you know what's crazy though? I remember learning a lot about, I learned a lot about Jewish culture in high school. I learned a lot about that. Like, I do remember that. I learned a lot about, like, they didn't teach anything about slavery, but they taught a lot about the Holocaust. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
It's just interesting. You know, I just remember, because now we're talking about it, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm thinking about high school. I'm like, damn, you know, I learned, like, a lot about that. Like, we watched Schindler's List my sophomore year of high school.
Now, have you brought that movie to your podcast?
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going
to raise spirits.
Everybody's seen that one. There's certain ones everybody likes.
Yeah.
You know, that one's the one that everybody likes.
I find that one so disturbing. I didn't like it.
You know, it's that scene. It was a great movie until he steps out the balcony with his shirt off and he starts just shooting at people.
Yeah.
That scene was like, I don't know what it is, that scene for me where it turns like, oh, this isn't fun no more. This
That's
isn't
the
like
thing a movie about no more. That film. There's something in it that disturbed everybody that really stayed with you. For me, it was the little girl in the red dress.
Yes.
That kept going in and out and you're pulling for her and then suddenly she's dead. It's like, oh, this is hopeless.
Yeah.
This is so hopeless. Hopeless.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, there's a few hopeless movies that I've seen that just make me feel bad. Dunkirk was one of them.
Where
it's like, I don't like, why did you make this?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I get why you made it, but it's like, damn, I can't see the fun in making any of it. Like, at least Django, it's like, you know, they say a nigga a lot. Like, it's fun,
it
you know,
fun.
A little bit.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. Yeah. But like, just the pure hopelessness of Schindler's List seems terrible. But my point is, it's like, they didn't teach a lot about black anything.
Well, at least there's a possibility. All they have to do is take one more step and kind of frame things as kind of, there was kind of an American Holocaust. Maybe we should look at that just one step further.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that one step further.
And that's the white part. That's the part we could do it. We just have to take a beat. So many things in life are just about paying attention. You know what I mean? If you just fucking pay attention, just take a beat and go, hey, we should pay attention to this thing and talk about it. And that's it. And most people who are unhappy are sort of asking for that too, which I find it weird that people resist it. All you have to do is sort of go, okay, what do you want? Okay, we need to pay attention. Okay, I'll pay attention. I'll do that.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Yeah, when you pay attention, you notice everything. Like, you see everything. Because it's like, I didn't know anything about, I keep saying brown, but you know, like my friend's culture, I didn't know anything about it until I started hanging with it. Because I never met a brown person, really. I'm from Memphis. Yeah. So that just wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when I met him in San Diego, it was like, oh, man. And then just, you know, because through comedy, so it starts with just talking about like how much we love Bill Cosby, you know, and then it goes, which is true. I know I say it like I'm saying it like something crazy, but that's really how we became friends.
Norm MacDonald, I saw him in stand-up once saying, he goes, I've fashioned everything after Bill Cosby. I love that man. Everything about him, except his comedy. Anyway, I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, what a goat, dude.
Yeah, that's Norm.
Yeah, but that's how I met him, and that feeling of like, and then through, but like I'm learning everything about brown people, and like you said, like all that stuff you said earlier, like noticing it. You put it into words, you know, earlier.
But well, like, when you were growing up and your parents were sending you to private school, what was their plan for you? Comedy, surely.
No, football. I went because that was like I went to Christian Brothers High School, which in Memphis is one of the top football programs.
What was your position?
In the state. Quarterback. Yeah.
You miss it?
I think about it all the time. I do miss it. I miss, it was just fun. I love doing stand-up, obviously, but I missed working hard, like,
team.
I can touch it.
Tangible.
Well, you can touch a football.
Yeah.
I can't touch a joke I write. I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. It's the same thing, but like, I do miss that. I miss, like, I can touch and throw this football, and like, I can see myself getting better at this.
How did comedy happen?
I saw Kevin Hart Seriously Funny when it came out. I watched it twice.
How old were you?
Back to back. That was 2009. So I was, 2009 going on 20. So 2010. So I was 20.
And were you at that point sort of looking for a direction?
No, I was playing football, man. Playing football, but I saw Kevin Hart Seriously Funny, and man, I watched it twice. We watched it with my best friend Tommy at the time, my nigga, and then we watched it, and then I looked at him. I said, bro, can we watch that again? And he was, I remember his face, like,
what?
Yeah, just like, what the fuck? Like, he said, all right, again? Dude. And then I drove him home that night, and I said, man, I'm going to do stand-up comedy.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And he's like, he said, do that shit, nigga. That's how he talks. He said, do that shit. That's for him. That's how he talks.
And so what was it about that captured you?
The way he was telling, because if you watch Kevin Hart Seriously Funny, to me, that's one of the greatest specials of all time. Like, he's not like, I mean, my goats are like, you know, Dave and Louie and Richard Pryor. Like, those are my favorites of all time.
Right.
But Kevin, that special meant so much to me because I've never seen someone be so honest and so goofy.
Mm.
Like Richard Pryor and Dave and all these other guys that I like, they were honest, but it was serious. And Chris Rock, it was serious.
And kind of super cool.
Super cool and super serious. I have never seen anyone like, he was being honest. He's telling all these great stories about his life.
Yeah.
But he was doing it in a way that's like, oh, you can be like, smile.
And
like,
making fun of himself the whole way.
Yeah, you can be like a goofball about it. And that's that. I don't know what that was, man, but that shit touched me.
I'd never thought about it, but that is a different turn. I mean, because I sort of see Kevin as sort of in the lineup, you know, the guys you mentioned, actually, but it's different.
It's so different.
Yeah.
It's so different because those guys are, like you said, they're cool. I mean, not that they're trying, they just are cool. Not that Kevin's not cool. Kevin is cool, but
Kevin's different.
It's upbeat. It's fast. It's not like, oh, I'm going to sit down and be thoughtful about it.
Right.
It's like, no, he's just like talking.
Yeah.
You know, and just seeing somebody do that. And then I quit football. And my parents were like, what the fuck?
Wow, right then. Wow.
I quit football.
Were you playing college football at that point?
I was playing college football.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, small ball. It was D3. Yeah.
But still.
It's a place called Mississippi College. I went to Belhaven first, then a place called Mississippi College. And this was winter break, this happened.
And so, and again, your parents mind, you're going to the NFL or they just want to
see you? No. I thought for sure I was going to be a commentator or a coach. Like, I knew by high school I wouldn't go in the NFL. One of my best friends, his name's Darren Bates. He just got out of the NFL. He had a 10-year career. One of my best friends since eighth grade. Like, and when I met him in going into freshman year, we were in eighth grade going into freshman year, I immediately knew I wasn't going in the NFL.
Mm.
Like, I was good. But when I saw him, I was like, oh. Like, you're just like, oh,
that's that.
And that's what that is. That's a different thing, you know? Right. And then a bunch of other guys I saw like that keep going. You're like, oh, so I knew I was going to be like, I'm good at talking. So I'll either be a coach because people listen to me. I was a quarterback. I was a captain. Like, people like listen to me.
Were you more serious back then? You don't strike me as that guy.
No, I was always a goofball.
Okay. Okay.
I was cracking jokes in the huddle. Like, I was a goofball, but people listen. And then I was like, I'm either going to do that or I was going to do what Stephen A. Smith does. That was my plan. I was like, I'm going to be Stephen A. Smith, or I'm going to be like fucking a coach.
Yeah, Stephen's awesome. He's awesome.
I bet he is.
Yeah. I haven't talked to him in a few years, but I used to do stuff with him. And he's like talking to a machine gun. because he's just so smart and so fast, and just it just comes at you.
Yeah, like him and
he
Skip
listens
Bayless.
At the same time. Like, some of those guys don't listen when they're talking like that.
They're paying attention. Yeah. You can tell like him and Skip, like the way they can rattle off stuff. It's like sports stuff. It's like
But he can talk about a lot of stuff. He can talk about just about anything. I've talked about a lot of things over the years, and he has an opinion, and it's coming at you, and he has good questions, and there's a good role model.
Yeah,
I like that. But he's not a comedian.
And he has that preacher cadence, which is just impossible to beat.
Yeah,
when you can talk with that, you know, you what I'm saying. You know, when you can do that and mean it, like people will fucking follow you.
Do you bring that into your comedy at all? Any kind of characters or anything? You know, the prior kind of storytelling from a character perspective?
No, you know what's funny? No, but I'd love that was a thing that people used to do. Like, oh, I'm going to tell a story as like this crazy uncle I had. Who's to say I wouldn't do that? You know what I mean?
I could see you doing that. I mean, because Pryor was the last one to do that really well.
Yes.
I can't think of anybody else that's done it. Like maybe Eddie Murphy, kind of.
Eddie Murphy did it in a way, but the way Richard, it was almost like he was doing stand up as that.
Yeah, he transformed. He transformed into a character and tell a story, and it was funny as shit.
Yeah, the closest I've seen to it is Fahim Anwar. He's a great comedian. He does a guy named Lance Cantopoulos, who's a character who he does kind of like that. But that's the closest I've seen it as far as anyone modern.
Yeah, most comedians that do that go into improv or something. Yeah. They don't so much do stand up. And I kind of miss that. So
yeah, it was an element of stand up that's kind of gone, like that impressions. There's certain things you just kind of don't really see. Like when you see it, you're like, whoa, somebody's doing a character, or you know, someone's doing it like that. You know.
So before we go to our questions and videos and all that, any movie trivia you want to stump me with, or anything like that? Is that the kind of thing you do?
I don't know movie trivia. I'm the dude that just like I remember like
it's that
all
story.
The songs in the movie, and I remember like all the lines, and I remember like. But I always was like that. Like, it's my dad. You know, my dad's like that. Like,
he's in the military, right?
Your dad's military guy. And I'm hanging out with him. He was just here for 2 weeks. And like, a song would come on. And he would be like, oh, man, this song. Remember when they played it in, like, that one scene and Departed? And he'll, like, and recall and everything. Or, like, oh, this line. And that's where it's crazy looking at him now. Like, damn, that's where I got this shit from. I didn't even, you know, but I realized that shit hanging with him this past couple of weeks. Like, that recall. But that's what I remember. I don't remember movie trivia or anything like that. I just remember, like, the movie. I can just remember the movie.
The story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm kind of pushing on you to tell a story in your comedy. I could see you doing that.
I do tell a lot of stories in my comedy. Yeah. Like very much. It's mainly stories.
Okay, good. All right. Are you performing around here anytime soon? Or
Saturday, this Saturday, November 5th. Okay. I'm performing at the Vulcan. And then I perform around town all the time, so you can always come see me. This Saturday, November 5th at the Vulcan Gas Company downtown. I'm headlining. Come out.
All right.
I don't know when this podcast comes out.
I don't either.
This comes out 11/25, so
it's Thanksgiving. Yeah. So
leave it in.
Put the word out. Look at do you have a website?
No, but they can look anywhere on Instagram, you know, on social media. I'll pop right up. They'll find me. My name will pop up.
The way we're going to do this is get some voice messages to start with. Let's do that. And we're going to watch the videos. And I've got a bunch of really good emails. So let's start with some voice messages.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, Booth Boys. Adrian here from South Carolina. My question is, why does my stomach irritate so much after I drink coffee? It could be with an empty stomach or with a glass of water or with a full stomach. And it's right after I drink my coffee, it just irritates my stomach. And I looked it up online. It says that it might be acid reflux or indigestion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Can you tell me?
What do you think?
I've never had a sip of coffee in my life.
Though. Why?
Never.
Why?
I'm scared of it.
Of what's going to happen?
I'll be one of these. I mean, this dude.
You'll be
fucking like, my stomach is burning, but I fucking need it. It's like, bro, stop drinking it. Yeah. Like, yo, that's clearly the advice.
Do you go that way? Do you tend to get addictive on stuff?
Yeah. Like, I smoke, but I know my things. I smoke weed, and I like hot Cheetos. I'm dead serious, dog. I smoke weed.
Those are your two.
I like hot Cheetos, bro. I don't do nothing else. I ain't never had cocaine. I ain't never had a cigarette. I ain't never had a coffee.
But you feel like you'd have some momentum with that if you...
I'd be a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew, if I did some coke, like, this is me on weed. This is me after a bong rip.
Yeah,
I can't imagine me after something cool like that.
Did you have ADD or ADHD as a kid?
I don't think so. No.
You have no trouble concentrating or anything.
No. That's what that means. Yeah. I guess that is what that means. No. I guess that didn't help it, but no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Because kids that have that love weed, they love how it makes them feel and sort of they get the perception that it's helping them with their concentration. Doesn't really.
Yeah. I don't think it's helping with my concentration, though. Okay, I like it.
Just like it.
It's my coffee. But then again, if I was smoking weed every day and then my stomach fucking hurt,
You might think, but there's, you know, there's this weed hyperemesis thing going around. You seen this?
What's that?
People that smoke weed on a regular basis eventually tend to get this persistent vomiting. It's called the cannabis hyperemesis syndrome. It's,
not had
it's
that
really
yet.
Common. It's pretty common. So if you start vomiting all of a sudden, just go, damn.
God, that, I feel like weed does the opposite. Like whenever I throw up, I smoke weed. I'm like, oh, I feel
it
little,
can't help with nausea.
I feel
it
like, yeah, I feel
it
better.
It actually does. But until this hyperemesis thing kicks in. So
you're putting this on me?
I'm sorry. Just keep an eye out for it. I'm not saying you're going to get it tomorrow. I'm just keeping an eye out. But this guy, yes, he's got reflux. You know, the coffee, alcohol, not good for the stomach lining.
Yeah.
Causes irritation. You can take your Gaviscon or some Pepcid or something that'll help with it. It's kind of weird that you're taking something to help so you can keep drinking your coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe put a little milk in there. Maybe eat food with it. That might help a little bit, but be careful.
Doctor, do you do anything like that? Is there anything in your life that you do that it doesn't, it do, you do it and it doesn't make you feel good, but you can't stop doing it?
Coffee makes me feel good, but I sometimes drink too much. So I do that. Mm. And I don't like how I feel when I drink. And yet every week or two, I drink a little too much. No matter what. And by too much, I'm a freaking lightweight. We've established this in this program. I'm a fucking lightweight.
Okay.
Like, serious lightweight. Is any in there to talk about my misadventure?
No.
I had a misadventure with weed I was talking about a few weeks ago, and it wasn't good.
Well, what did you smoke? Did you smoke or did you eat something?
I smoked it. Okay. And
joint?
Yeah. Okay. And with some celebrity, notorious smokers, and who they admitted to me afterwards, they'd rolled this particular giant cigar in hash, forgot to tell me, and I developed what's called an anticholinergic delirium. I got agitated, I got photophobia, I got dry mouth, I couldn't move my body. It was very weird, and it was miserable, and I got weird time compression. I was kind of, I had my wits about me a little bit, so I thought, I'm going to go outside. I was pacing, I couldn't stop pacing. And I thought, all right, if I just hang in for 3 hours, I'm going to be okay. It'll pass, you know. And I know what this is. It's an anticholinergic reaction, blah, 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 blah. And my wife came out to check me on a couple times. And I thought, well, how long has it been now? How far in am I? I'm like, 2 hours, hour and a half, where am I? She goes, about 7 minutes. And I go, oh, shit, I got to get out of here.
Damn.
I got to get out of here. Yeah. So, and I was bad for like 5 days. I couldn't drive for a couple days. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'm officially a lightweight, and that ain't for me.
Damn,
I was trying to be a cool
terrifying.
Kid, and then not for me.
You know what's funny? I want to get my dad high, but I'm also so nervous that that would be
well,
his experience.
Don't go with the full hash roll giant cigar to start with. You know what I'm saying? Maybe give him a little something to tell him just not even inhale.
Yeah.
See how he feels. A little vape pen action or something.
Yeah. Golly.
Is man. It legal in the state? Is Texas or is it medical? It's medical.
Medical.
Here, right?
Yeah.
Medical. So you have a medical. That's right. You said you use it for your nausea.
I use it for the nausea.
So.
That's what I use it for every time, every day. So that's why I get ahead of the nausea. Is really what I'm doing.
Give me another voice message.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
God, everyone's on Quaaludes
I've
today.
I had a chronic back issue since
he's on opiates.
2016.
That's why.
It gets re-aggravated every once in a while when I just happen to pick something up. It's a herniated disc in my L5. S1, and from what I remember, is about 11 millimeters. Went to the hospital when I first hurt the back, and they just sent me away with medication.
Right, and you're still taking them. That's the horrible
since
part.
Then it's been re-aggravated every once in a while. Currently at work right now because the day before I hurt it, and usually resolves itself, and now I'm wondering if I go to urgent, should I investigate further and kind of get a procedure done? Thank you very much.
Okay, enough. He's something's making him slow motion.
The pills.
Yeah, the pills, exactly. Okay, here's the deal. Number one, opiates cause back pain. They intensify whatever back pain you have, and they put you in a state of chronic withdrawal, which causes also back pain and headache. So your opiates, the wrong treatment for back problems. Maybe for a day or two, that is it. Everybody has a back problem. Every human who is upright has got things like herniated disc and facet arthropathies. That's part of being upright. So when everyone says to me, I have 4 centimeter discharge on them, I have 4 centimeter extrusion at the L5 level, you're way, way, way thinking about something you shouldn't even know about. Okay,
wow.
Now, if you have a motor dysfunction in your leg, you need an operation. If you lose muscle mass, if you can't move the leg, if it gets weak, you need an operation. But for pain, it's not likely to work. It's just likely to make things bad as make things better. Now, if you have nothing else to do and you're disabled by it, okay, you got to do something. I get it. But not opiates, no pain medication. And if you have herniated disc, which I have, it will come and go and come and go. It will come back and it will go away. It's no big deal. You live with it. I've lived with the disc in my neck since I was 28. I would never have somebody operate it in a million years.
Really?
In a million years. No. Mm-mm. So be very cautious with the operations and thinking about the operations. And if you're strung out on the opiates and if that's the problem, you may need treatment for that. So look carefully into it.
God damn, what is this podcast? That shit, everything was fun until that call, and then I was like, this guy real. The back shit was real.
Well,
dude,
we'll get some more real shit going. Here, let's take a couple of emails here. Let's see if I can kind of
what should he because here's my question to him, or to you, I guess. You're having back pain. I don't want like taking pills either. So what would I yoga? What do you do?
Yoga, stretching, take it, lie down, find, you know, usually in with disc problems like this, walking actually is the best thing you can do. So get up, stretch it, walk. You know, if it's so horrible that you can't move, I mean, go, you know, you can also get local injections of steroids and things like that into the spine that help reduce some of the inflammation. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to go through these emails here, find you a good one that's going to freak you out even more. Smoking weed since I was 12. I'm currently 25. Even though I've been smoking for such a long time, my tolerance is low. I'm pretty much a one-hit wonder. Welcome to the club. I get extremely paranoid, especially when I'm with other people. The paranoia mostly comes in the form of feeling like I'm being extremely annoying or frustrating, even when I don't say a word. Oh. This leads me to being able to smoke with friends. Never able to smoke with friends, no matter how much they plead or make fun of me. I even struggle with around my girlfriend. Is there any way either to mitigate my paranoia or to increase my tolerance? Why does he insist on smoking if it's making him miserable?
Yo, this is what's crazy, though. It's like, hey, it's crazy to put that on weed. It's like, no, my nigga, that's just who you are. You're
a paranoid person?
You're a paranoid person, and you feel this. What did he say? He said, when I smoke weed, I feel annoying.
He feels annoying.
Yeah, that's how you feel about yourself.
Yeah, but it's more. Really, but it's more. But my question is, it's not making you feel better about yourself. It's making you feel worse. Why do it?
Why do it?
Don't do it.
Also, I would want to fix that problem.
Yeah, well, that's true, too, that he should fix why he feels annoying.
Then you can smoke weed and be like, oh, that wasn't, I can, it's like, bro, weed's awesome.
It's awesome, but not for everybody. You got to understand, that's a genetic thing. When you really love it, it's a genetic thing. Like, when I had my reaction, I don't get high from weed. I don't get high. I just feel misery. And same thing with opiates. Opiates make me feel miserable. So, like, when I have operations and stuff, I can barely take the pain meds because I just make me feel miserable. That's a genetic thing. You said you knew everything about Jewish history? That's Jewish history. That's some Jewish history right there. There's a subset of us that love it and a subset of us that hate it. And so, but it is a great example of how different people are. But the fact that this guy keeps going with it, it's so weird to me. And smoking since he was 12, dude, what's he doing?
Because it seems like you're like now it's just a bad, like you're making it worse every time. Since you were 12, it's probably, I can't imagine how bad.
Or maybe
how
give it a break. Yeah, exactly. All right, here's another one. From 20 to 26, I was on citalopram, 30 milligrams. I've been off now for 2 years. I feel normal. I've realized since stopping them, I've been way more responsible with my money, and I'm slowly working back the student credit line that I abused the hell out of during those years I was on citalopram, which is antidepressant. Could my reckless spending during that time be related to my antidepressant use? Yes, sir. Be seeing you in May. Is this a male or female? I don't know, but yeah, it can make you manic. And excessive buying and selling and even gambling and stuff like that can be all part of a hypomanic syndrome. Antidepressants do this. They're overprescribed horribly. The doctors, I'm freaking you out pretty good.
I can't believe all these people are doing this. I can't believe everybody's living like this.
Oh, you didn't even know. You got to listen to the show more often. We're just warming you up here, my friend. But in any event, the doctors that prescribe this are usually not psychiatrists, and they don't know how to really rule out bipolar disorder properly. And I see a lot of this stuff. By the way, back to the weed thing, we're seeing a lot of weed psychosis now, a lot.
What's that mean?
People get sort of, they don't see what's happening to them, which is very common with, you know, drug addiction or drug use, is it kind of blocks what it does to you. And people are developing these kind of rigid ways of thinking and get kind of grandiose and start thinking they have special insight into things and they kind of can't be reasoned with. And it's then they don't do anything. And at the same time, they're declaring they have special insight into how the world works. They sit in their couch and smoke weed all day. You know what I'm saying? They're here to save the world from the couch.
From the couch. Oh, God, the couch heroes.
Yeah, and it's hurting people. It's hard to reason with them because they don't see what's happening. You have to convince them to take a couple weeks off, and then they get much, much better very quickly. So
I wonder if it's just, is it, because it keeps saying it's weed, but it's like, in my head, it's like, bro, I want to ask that person, all right, how much are you going outside?
Well, it's like, weed. It's like, again, everybody's sort of genetically different. Like for you, it's fine. It's not doing that to you, right? Like, why would I argue with you smoking weed? It's fine for you, right?
Yeah.
But for somebody that's their life is kind of spiraling downward, that's who I want to talk to. And that's what I want to get them to stop. And that's a certain genetic thing. That's a certain thing that that person is getting. And it's just not, we're not all the same. Look, this guy got manic from an antidepressant that might help somebody else. But nobody asked the right questions. So, all right, let's try another one.
Shouldn't you just take no pills, though? Is that bad to say that?
To take no pills?
To take no, isn't it bad? Aren't they all bad?
That statement is actually true. That you have to, you should come from the position that all medications are bad and dangerous. They just have to be less dangerous and a little better than whatever it is you're trying to treat.
Interesting.
So the illness has to be worse than the medicines.
Yes.
But medicines are, they don't solve anything except real illness. And if it's worth it, you take it. If it's not worth it, try everything else.
Yes,
everything
right?
else.
You
yes.
Try everything else.
Yes, or okay. Take it for a short time. You know, get off.
I needed to hear this from you because I'm like, man, am I going crazy? Because in my head, that's how I've always thought. Like,
good.
It's just
that's good. Okay. I was raised. My dad was a family practitioner. And he drilled into me: medicines are bad, bad, bad. It's only when you have to use them you use them. I never had an antibiotic until I was like 17, and even then, he's like, "All right, here we go. This is it. We're crossing a line here. You're going to take ampicillin." I'm like, "Okay."
See, I think your dad did it because he was smart. My dad did it because he was fucking cheap. You know what I mean? I think my dad did because I'm looking at it. He didn't fucking know anything. He was just like, hey, we're not buying nothing. We're not doing nothing.
What did he do for the military?
Navy man. You know what's funny? When I was a kid, I'm sure there's a job for it, but you know, like on the ship, right? There's all the stores. There's the barbershops and
oh,
the
yeah, there's a name
that.
For this. Yeah, yeah.
There's a guy who runs all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's a name for it. It's a cool name. It's like an old-fashioned name.
Yeah, that's what's his job. He was that guy who ran all the things on the ship.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big job. Yeah. Yeah, I remember 9/11 happened.
Oh, what is that name?
I was on the boat with him.
YOLO, try again. Oh, you were on the boat ship.
So in Hawaii, in the middle of the ocean in Hawaii, it was like one of those big, I forgot the name of it, where they bring you can bring your family out at one point.
Wow.
Because he was out at leave for like 3 years. So I hadn't seen him. And so they were like, oh, you can bring your family.
Years?
Yeah.
Was he in a submarine or something?
No, he was on the ship.
Woo.
Yeah, he would do that. He would just be gone sometimes for a long time. But I got to go visit him. And
God bless him.
It was great. And then 9/11 happened. But I remember as a kid, this is so fucked up, but I remember I thought 9/11 was the best because I got to spend like 2 extra weeks with my dad on the ship.
Of course, of course.
It was like greatest ever. I was 9/11.
Yeah, so... I mean, I understand that.
And for me, bro, because I didn't know what was going on. No. I just knew that, like, I couldn't go back to school for like 2 weeks because there was no, and I was stuck
on
the ship.
It's a kid's eye view.
It was the greatest, bro. Yeah.
What kind of ship was it?
Big fighter ones, the big monsters.
Like an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was, oh.
Were planes taking off? It must have been busy, too, because shit's going down.
You see how they land with the fucking rope catching them? Like, oh, dude, greatest memories, man.
Oh, my God. Good for you. Yeah. The word like granary or something. It's some old-fashioned word about keeping goods and services.
Yeah.
Look up some of words for, you got it, Lola? You got something? No.
Shopkeep and Navy.
Yeah, shopkeep and Navy. Oh, God, we're spending a lot of time on dictionary.com here today.
You're bringing me back sometime. You'll say stuff, and I'm like,
I know. Dude, I'm interested. Shopkeep and Navy. Here we go. Wikipedia. All right, you're going to have to read that. We can't see it. All right, I'm going to read you another email in the meantime. So back to medicines. For the last few years, I've had minor hand tremors. I'm curious whether it's related to my antidepressants. I take 40 milligrams of Prozac, 150 Wellbutrin. Both cause tremors. I believe the tremor began before I added Wellbutrin. Makes sense. I didn't realize I had hand tremors until someone pointed it out to me, even though it's a very fine tremor. You usually get it. It's not like, you know, Parkinson. It's like a real, really fine one. Obviously, with the caffeine with my daily coffee.
Bruh, why are you doing this to yourself?
Shaking gets worse, keeps going. I'm mainly wondering if the tremor is caused by the Prozac, if it is a big deal. Can this turn to something worth? Would it go away if I stop? High and tight, butthole, et cetera. This is a female, I guess. So, Fed smoker fan. So
that's crazy to say all that about yourself.
Yes, it's all these greetings that they give us from your mom's house. So this is the medicine for sure. It's got to be the Wellbutrin since you didn't have it from the Prozac by itself. You might not get it from the Wellbutrin alone. It may be the combination of the two, but Wellbutrin does cause tremor. And the coffee does make it worse. And no, it doesn't tend to be persistent. You'll be okay. It tends to go away. It's not as though it's the beginning of Parkinsonism or something like that. There are medicines, though, that will do that. I was telling somebody the other day, I'm like, you know, psychiatrists use these medicines these days that worry me that cause movement problems. Even these things can cause problems, rarely. But when they do, it's awful.
Basically, and I'm not trying to be mean, but just this is how I'm hearing it. When I'm hearing this from you, are you telling that person like, "Hey, you gave yourself hand tremors"?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying
that's what I heard.
I'm saying don't worry. I hope the reason for the medication outweighs the risks. So I worked in a psychiatric hospital for 30 years, and in the first 10 years, all I did was going around deal with essentially the medical complications of psychotropic medications. I mean, I was doing two things. There was unbelievable how often a medical problem was either causing the psychiatric syndrome or concomitant, like, or precipitated another medical problem by the psychiatric syndrome. And then the rest of the time was spent dealing with the meds and all the side effects. Edemas and hyponatremias and seizures, all kinds of shit, movement problems. Yeah, the whole time I was just thinking, man, these guys have forgotten. Seems to me, I know they think their medicines are going to solve all the problems, but it's not without danger. Here, I take Adderall on a regular basis. You want to talk about dangerous meds? People prescribe this shit all the time. I've noticed when I take it and touch my camera through the fence, don't worry about the translation there. The effects tend to wear off pretty quickly. What is he saying? It's the post-nut clarity killing my buzz, or am I just fully... Oh, my God. Can you guys translate this? You're all both smiling. Do you understand what he's saying here?
He's talking about how Adderall affects him when he masturbates. I think he says when he comes, the effects of the Adderall wear off.
And what are they... He doesn't tell us what the effects are, though.
Just like that
kind
he's, of like...
he's taking it recreationally. He's not prescribed it, because I take it on a regular basis, he says. And so he doesn't get the stimulant effects after he jacks off, right? Any notes?
I'm confused. Wait, so
it is confusing.
Yeah, that one's. Yeah, I'm confused at what he's.
So
asking.
I think he's just bragging about the fact that he jacks off a lot and takes Adderall. That's really all it is. So, anybody else have any other thoughts about this guy? But I will tell you that Adderall is grotesquely overdone by my profession. If you're taking a psychostimulant after the age of 18, be very careful. Yeah. Under 18, it actually properly prescribed does work and does seem to help people. Properly prescribed, carefully prescribed, formal testing to make sure you really need it.
Yeah.
And then recreationally, it actually does enhance concentration and people do perform academically a little better on the medicine. And it's fucking cheating. It's cheating to take that shit. It's cheating.
Yeah, you're locked in.
Why did you take steroids when you're playing football? Maybe you could have been like that guy you saw. Yeah, see? It's cheating.
Wow, I never looked at it like that. You're 100% right. That is cheating.
It is cheating. Now, it's one thing if you're a bodybuilder, because the whole thing is predicated on using steroids. You don't get that way by any other means.
But
if they're going to have that thing, they're going to be on steroids. But if you're an athlete, now the one, I will tell you the one, I leave a little wrinkle room in here. Guys that are quarterbacks particularly and are over the age of like 35 and still in the NFL, you pretty much have to do something to push back the agent.
You think so?
I think so. You have to. And if those guys want to do that for a couple of years, it prolongs your career a couple of years or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, all right, I guess, you know.
Yeah, because the amount of hits that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have taken, it is mind-boggling. Because, I mean, then again, Peyton Manning, their bodies all start failing at some point.
Correct. Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Mm. But, I mean, I guess it would make more sense that they could last longer, right?
But somebody has to sit them down and go, yeah, all those head whacks you took when you were 27, it's not the same when you're 35. They're much more serious.
Oof.
They're much more serious. Your brain doesn't recover the same way. It's a thing. And back to being a bummer. Here we are, bumming everyone
out. I like this.
All right, you have any questions?
You bum me back now.
You have any CTE questions? Anything?
Any CTE questions? I mean, I know it's real, but then again, it's like, to me, I've seen so many football players who are, so many, my whole life I've been around football players.
Yeah.
And all of them, the majority of them are fine.
Yeah.
And you meet a couple with head trauma. So it's like, man, is it football or is it that person? Was that person going to have head stuff?
It's both. So they are showing now that there are certain genes that predispose to Alzheimer's. Doesn't mean you're going to get Alzheimer's, but it has that kind of quality. If you get Alzheimer's, you have this gene. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And those guys get the CTE for sure. So it's probably some, like everything with human beings, it's probably the magnitude of the hits, the frequency of the hits, the seriousness of the hits, and then genes, yes or no. It's probably the combo. Like everything, pretty much everything in the human being. It's about 60% genetics and 40% environment. That's just the way it is.
60%. I like that. Yeah. 60%.
It's a little bit more than 50 on the genetics. That's something I've noticed.
But the environment, I mean, 40%, that can change everything.
Well, and that environment can be super harsh, right? If the environment is a big, you know, as a, like the gene can be very powerful genetics or very weak genetics. Same thing with the environment. It can be a very powerful input. Like if, you know, in my world in addiction, if you had, you know, childhood sexual abuse, physical abuse, neglect, and the gene for addiction, you get an addiction. You're getting bad addiction. You're going to come see me.
That's the environment the and the genes.
Yeah, that's the combo. All right, let's see what you got here. What do you got for a voice message?
Hi, Dr. Drew. I'm 23 years old, and I have a skin disease called HS. Not going to try to pronounce the name because I'll butcher it. But basically, I get like cystic acne around my groin and whatnot, you know, which is very uncomfortable. It started when I was around 16, and it's always been super persistent no matter what I've tried. I've booked it up. There's no cures or anything or certain treatments. I do not have health insurance. So I have not been able to use any.
Okay.
But I have noticed around 8 months ago, I got into a steady relationship. And since I've had consistent sex, it hasn't really flared up so much around my genitals.
How about that?
I still get it around like my ears and somewhat the back of my neck, but nothing around the genitals anymore.
Well,
and I'm just wondering if maybe the constant sex has something to do with it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Just kind of curious.
Thank you.
Let me know what you think. Thank you.
Be coming up in May. Look up hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, hidradenitis suppurativa. It's pretty nasty. And we have to see some images of it. Suppurativa, there it is.
I'm so glad he got a girl.
there it is. See the armpits? The armpits are the classic place for it. It's these cystic boils, essentially. Look how nasty, man. It's awful. It's a terrible illness. It's very hard to treat. It is hormonally related, so maybe something about the sex is adjusting his testosterone levels or something. It is inflammatory, so steroids and things like that tend to help it. There are treatments, but he's right. He would have to have a dermatologist who has a lot of experience. That one right in the middle with the armpit right there, that's sort of really typical. That's kind of what they usually look like.
Damn.
Yeah. And so good times. You should have gone to medical school, dude. It seems like you love all this stuff.
Why do you think the sex helped? Do you think it just made
his
body felt good?
I think it had probably changed his free testosterone, and that can affect what's going on here. And the fact that it's vanished from his groin, I think, is just sort of coincidence. It's just the whole thing kind of calmed down a little bit. And by the way, it's not always testosterone. Estrogen can make it worse. I saw somebody with this that, well, I was convinced it was a male to female misgendered individual. And I didn't want to get into all that with this individual, but she had a story of there happening something in a birth and there being an accident and then she having to take estrogen the rest of her life. Yeah. And she had this thing and I was thinking, seems like the wrong hormone maybe. And, you know,
I'm my brain. I'm like, is this anything deodorant related as well?
No. It's inflammatory. And it's tough. It is a tough thing. All right. Give me a young lady with a voice message. The boys are all on Quaaludes today. Yeah, they're freaking Derek out, but.
Because, man, they all sound so sad, bro. Nobody's like, hey, Dr. Drew, man, first off, love you, buddy. Like, everybody's like, Dr. Drew.
I know, today's that day. Yeah, I blame you. So it's a little bit that way today. It's not always like that. All right, you got one?
Hi, mommies. This is Cassie.
See?
And you guys always talk about male anatomy on the show, and I think it's time to spend some more time on the female anatomy.
We agree.
So I have a question. Is the uterus inside or outside of the body? Like, I know everything we
I'll
eat is outside of the body.
Yeah.
But is like the inside of my uterus inside or the outside? Because when I have my period, it seems like it would be outside, but it really feels like it's inside. So please, Dr. Mommy, teach me. Bet you're coming up in May. Bye.
Thank you, Cassie, for giving us a little breather. God bless you, Kathy. Great question. First of all, case in point of how men are so preoccupied with their genitalia. She's absolutely right. Men ask about their dicks all the time. They're all worried about, is it normal? Is it this? Is it working right? Constantly, constantly men worry about it. Gentlemen, back me up on this. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so she's right. We need to talk about this. The other thing we talk about, I kind of emphasize here that the difference between inside the body and outside the body.
Yes,
so,
please explain.
Yeah. So like your mouth to your anus is a tube. That tube, the interior of that tube is entirely outside your body. It runs through your body, but the inside of the tube is outside your body. If you get a hole in the wall of that tube and get inside the body, you have sepsis. You're going into shock, right? So all the bacteria that live in your gut and everything else, that's all on the external, much like your skin is a surface.
Yeah.
The tube that goes from your mouth to your anus is a tube, and it's lined by specialized cells that absorb things, but it's technically outside the body, okay?
That's fucking awesome.
Okay, good. And so what Cassie's zeroing in on is the vagina is also outside the body, right? Because it communicates directly with the outside body, the lining. It's just a sac that's outside the body. Now, at the end of the vagina, I guess we're going to have to look at this. You just look at, you know, uterus, female internal genitalia. At the end of the vagina is the cervix. Okay? It's at the, you're picturing.
I'm trying to pick, I'm picturing like the back, right?
So give me that, the middle one, the third one over there. Can you enlarge that more for me? Okay. So you see, there we go. So you see how the vagina, it's labeled as vagina, right?
Yes.
And the thing at the top there that becomes white, that's the cervix.
Okay.
Okay. And then that's the bottom part of the uterus, right? Above the cervix is the uterus, correct? See all that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's all inside the body. It communicates with the outside body, but that is a essentially sterile space that's kind of inside the body. It's not as inside the body as like your abdominal cavity is inside the body, because you can take instruments up there and you can kind of, if they're okay, and you know, you can introduce things into the uterus and not cause sepsis. So it's sort of specialized. It's not completely inside the body, but it's essentially inside the body. I think of it as inside the body. Now show me a picture of a cervix so Derek can see exactly what it looks like when you look down to the end of a vagina. Cervix picture. Look at a picture of one.
Down the barrel?
Yeah, down the barrel of the vagina. There you go. Not during pregnancy, just regular. There, keep going. All right, there it is on the right. See that little round thing at the end of the vagina?
Yeah.
That's the uterus poking down into the vagina.
Whoa.
And that is a cervix. And that is outside the body, in the vagina, and it's closed, right? You see that little dot in the middle?
Is that where the semen
mouth.
Goes? Is that where the semen goes?
It makes its way through that little hole.
The one lucky one?
Well, a lot of lucky ones have to get up there because they have to get all the way to the tubes in order to impregnate. Oh, there's on the bottom. That's an actual picture of a cervix there, that pink thing. Yeah, that's a cervix. And you see it kind of communicates with the outside world a little bit because those sperm have to get through there, right? And babies have to come out of there. And it's a kind of a sterile environment. You don't want to reintroduce much into that. But I'm glad Cassie brought it up. It's kind of a specialized environment. And by the time you get all the way up into the tubes, which is where the sperm meet the egg, right up in the tube area near the ovaries, that's a sterile environment there, really. Okay, we all good? Everyone understands? You got questions, Darren?
I have a question, actually.
Yes.
You're talking about the vagina,
mm-hmm.
and yes, nobody asks questions about
it. Please ask a question about vagina.
I've been with my girlfriend for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Been together 7 years.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And she doesn't let, the whole time, we have sex all the time. Like, everything's great, but she doesn't let me eat her out.
Why?
She said it's ticklish.
Too intense. So she is someone.
Let me try it twice.
Predict. That she is someone that orgasms easily with intercourse.
Yeah.
Correct. And women that orgasm easily with intercourse and repeatedly feel like direct stimulation is too intense. So, and by the way, those women that have orgasm with intercourse, when they talk to their friends that can't have orgasm with intercourse, are confused. They're like, well, you just haven't figured it out yet. No, it's there's a spectrum of biology. Women are all over the place. So about 5% are like your girlfriend. They can have orgasm easily. They can have multiple orgasm. They don't like direct stimulation. Probably 50% of women need direct stimulation to have an orgasm and only rarely have an orgasm with intercourse. So you found a four-leaf clover?
You know what she told me? And because she doesn't let me eat her out, but she does say, like, the reason she said she'll come a lot with me is because this little bit of belly right here is always rubbing up against her clitoris.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And she's like, that amount is perfect.
Just that little bit of pressure is enough. Yeah. And but those women, like your girlfriend, have a lot of stuff going on in the vagina. There's a lot more.
What's going on?
In terms of the stimulation they get and the ability, they get more contractile force of the wall of the vagina.
That's definitely happening.
Yeah. You can feel it when it comes down on you. Yeah. And that's them orgasming and they just keep having them. And that's that type. That's that type of woman. Now she, let's see, what else can I say about them? They're just unique, and it's their makeup, and it's normal, even though it's not as common as the other end.
But you know what? That's good, because I've always felt bad. Like, man, what am I doing wrong?
No, she doesn't like it.
Yes,
she will never like it, and it was uncomfortable to her.
So the rest of my life, I'm never eating pussy.
You won't need to if you really want to, you know, on a special occasion.
You know what's funny? I only want to now, but so bad because it does. Like, now I'm like, I can't believe that I'm never going to do this again. Really?
Well, I mean, they're probably, you know. again, they're super sensitive, women like that. And so there are times maybe when they're less sensitive than others and maybe they'll go, for, you know, like she said, it's occasional.
Oh, like maybe when she has a baby, maybe her whole vagina will be different.
It can change. It can change after a baby delivery too.
I'm nervous about that. But yeah, you're right.
It usually goes the, yeah, you can do that, yeah.
Because I'm assuming it would lose that sensitivity maybe? Or I don't know. I'm guessing. I don't
know. You can, yeah, but not necessarily. Okay. So it's good. Good for you. Thank you for bringing that up. Let's do another voicemail and then we'll do some videos.
Hi, Dr. Drew. I am calling in because my husband has moderate to severe ulcerative colitis. He does take medication for it, and it never really fully goes away. Uh-oh. He does still have flares, but it never quite gets bad.
Nothing sexier than bloody diarrhea.
That's what that means.
Or have surgery either, so he's just kind of constantly in this limbo. Now, I heard you on another podcast talking to Kalila that if she did what I think you called EMDR therapy, that it would probably help her colitis. So I mentioned this to my husband, who said, if you can get Dr. Drew to answer this question about me specifically, I will do EMDR therapy.
Okay.
This man was raised in a cult, has experienced abuse from multiple people throughout his life as a child.
Goodness.
And has literally never gone to therapy. In his mid-20s.
And then his body's whacking out. Colitis. Interesting.
So, Dr. Drew, would EMDR therapy help his ulcerative colitis? Also, I think I'm the only female that actually says the full word butthole. So, butthole, butthole, butthole.
They don't say the T.
Bye.
Butthole. That's the only way women can say butthole is without the T. Even she thought she was saying the T and she didn't use the T.
Yeah, no.
Butthole, butthole, butthole. It's so funny. What is it about the female brain that can't say
that
butthole?
Butt. Yeah.
So this is a fantastic question. I blame Derek that we're getting into all this stuff because these are really amazing questions. So I was talking to Kalila. What's the Tuesday? What's their name of their podcast?
Trash Tuesday.
Trash Tuesday. I was on Trash Tuesday with Kalila and all those guys. And she was talking about her irritable bowel syndrome, her different kind of colitis. It was a nonspecific colitis. Ulcerative colitis is an inflammatory bowel disease. It's an immune-mediated, serious condition, can be associated with needing the whole colon to be taken out, is associated with cancer. It's a very, very, very serious condition. Highly treatable these days. I don't understand why he's not on Humira or one of these modulators that takes care of it. Remicade, there's a lot of stuff. Now, to be fair, in my experience, those medicines work better in Crohn's disease, which is a little different. Ulcerative colitis is limited to the colon, very similar condition. Crohn's goes throughout the GI tract. So I don't have enough experience to tell you, you know, that it's necessarily going to work. But it seems to me, in my world, inflammatory bowel disease, that you can expect remission these days. So why he's not in remission, why he's not getting properly treated is question number one. Number two, EMDR, probably not going to help this very much. Couldn't hurt.
What does that stand for?
Eye movement desensitization theory, reprogramming theory, the treatment, which is essentially like it's kind of a hypnotic thing where you watch a little light and it gets you into the part of the brain that doesn't give you access when you've been traumatized. And he's clearly been traumatized and he would benefit from the EMDR, right? Don't get me wrong. He sounds like somebody who would benefit from EMDR for sure. And maybe that would help his colitis. Maybe. But it's not the kind of surefire thing that I was speaking about with Kalila when I said, yeah, your irritable bowel, you know, your body is storing this, you know, what's called functional. See, irritable bowel syndrome is essentially a functional bowel disease. What he has is an inflammatory bowel disease, and it's different. And it doesn't tend to get well as much with psychological kinds of treatment. But for God's sakes, with what he's been through, he would benefit from EMDR. So there you go. All right. Anything else? Any other questions? Did I explain that adequately?
That was great.
Making sense?
That was a good girlfriend.
A really good girlfriend.
She was a good girlfriend.
And by the way, putting up with bloody diarrhea, right?
She's putting up with it and she wants you to get help. Like, lots are going on, man.
Yeah. And and got a great attitude. In spite of the bloody diarrhea.
Positive about it.
And the perfect pronunciation of butthole. So.
She said he grew up in a cult. That's crazy.
Yeah, more people have that kind of history than you would imagine.
I met a guy at the Comedy Store when I was a door guy there, a friend of ours named Abby. He said he grew up in a cult in like California. I was like, I couldn't believe, I didn't even understand. Just from Memphis, I'm like, that doesn't make, it's crazy. Just because where I'm from is like, in my I just can't fathom it.
A lot of them were kind of religious cults. There was a lot of that shit going on in the 70s, 80s, even 90s.
Yeah.
And they weren't cults, and it weren't outer space cults like some of the things you think about. It's not Jim Jones, but but there were these cultish leaders that set up these religious sects, and they'd find followers, and they'd set up a school for the kids, and off they'd go. And another friend of mine lived like that. And of course, the moms are always super, super crazy.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on with the moms. And this was going to solve their problems. Of course, doesn't. Good times. How's Abby's family history? Is that his name, Abby? Is it he or she?
He's
he. Yeah.
He's really attractive. I feel like every person I've met in those cults is usually pretty attractive. Like, I've met a couple people out of them now, and they're all three at least have been very beautiful white people.
Must be something
there.
Must be something. They are typically white people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I said the Memphis thing. Because in my head, going it's like there's just who would do this?
Yeah.
Not that black, I'm sure black people, I mean, black people go to church, so they fall for stuff. But you know
what I mean? It's different because you have all that. There's a more of a community capture. You know, you feel connected to something. And church is part of that. But this is people that feel disconnected and not connected to anything and sort of want something and don't find it.
Wow.
So, yeah. All right, let's look at some. I'm interested in a lot of these videos. Are these videos all for today?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's see the Indian airport fight.
You just, are the
crook. Yeah.
You are the crook.
Hey, shut up, bro.
Don't shut
up. I already know these dudes.
Turn up a little bit. It froze. It stopped. Is that it?
Man, you know what's crazy? Just from working at the Comedy Store, I used to seat people. And so you saw everyone come up. And those group of guys right there, you know they suck. You know they suck. You know they're not going to tip. You know they're going to talk during the show. You're going to have to kick them out. Everything about these guys, I've met these guys a million times.
What is that?
I don't know, but you tell just from their attitude, energy. I guess maybe growing up poor and now having money.
Oh, could be.
A little bit of that.
You are the junk.
Hey, shut your mouth.
Don't shout. I fuck you right here, motherfucker. Oh. You don't know me. Look, motherfucker trying to be smart ass. I fuck you right here. $50? You motherfucker, you are. You are smack yourself.
You are fucking Pakistani asshole.
Fuck you.
Fuck yourself.
Fuck yourself.
What was that? And you're calling that Indian. That could be a lot of different things.
Yeah, that could be a lot of things.
I don't know what that was. And
man.
There's a lot of Iran problems these days. I wonder if these are Iranian guys or how do you know? Where did that come from?
Why? You know what's crazy? It's also the crazy in my head. Why are you talking in English? Cuss them out in the...
Yeah.
I fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. Well, let's see. Let's see it one more time, guys. Let's take a look at this because it was kind of hard to make sense of.
Yeah. Man, I fuck you. Here we go.
So,
you are the jerk.
So is that guy the jerk? And is that guy the...
Oh, don't shout.
I fuck you right here, motherfucker. You don't know me. Don't motherfucker try to be smart ass. I fuck you right here.
Motherfucker.
I'll make the baby $50. You motherfucker, you are. You are smack yourself.
I kind of like it. I kind of like
me too.
It doesn't divulge. It doesn't go to physical violence.
No.
They like, they can really get angry and not swing at each other. It's hard to do that.
Also, everything he said was like, wow, don't shout. The things he was saying were interesting. Don't shout. You don't know me.
And it's something about respect.
Yeah, respect.
Respect yourself. Yeah. Not respect me. Respect yourself.
So it was interesting. Also, I just don't understand why. Like, I don't speak Spanish, so I'm not going to argue with you in Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to, the couple words I know.
Right. If we came from a different country and somebody from that country didn't like me, or let's say we were in France and,
I noticed you speak English.
Yeah. And you start yelling at me, I'm going to speak English back to you. Yeah, for exactly. Sure.
I'm not going to talk in broken French.
You're right.
Just
right.
For everybody else.
Tu merdique. So, all right. Let's see another video. What else you got there for us? And by the way, this thing is blinking on and off like crazy.
Yeah, that video would
like there's a loose connection somewhere.
Yeah, here, let's stop down for a sec so we can try to fix that.
Okay. It literally seems like the wire to the TV is fucked up.
I thought there was more to the video, honestly.
Well, these are little TikToks, so, we get to make fun of them, make sense of them such as they're presented. That's the part of the challenge.
Don't shout. Huh.
It just keeps blinking on. Oh, there. See, it's off now. It just goes back on like that. That's what it looks like. We can make our way through the show. Guys, we have 5 more minutes. Okay,
if you want to keep going.
We'll keep going. We're okay.
Probably just stay away from the videos. So
we'll do one more video and then that's it.
Okay.
So, all right. So let me see the list. All right. Let's see. Oh, Hairy Armpit Girl. We've been in the armpit for a while here, so I think this might be a good one for us to look at.
Cool.
Hairy Armpit Girl.
I'm not mad when I see the hairy armpit. I know what kind of girl that is.
Mm.
All I'm looking for is a man who's willing to explore the wilderness.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
Like eat oral sex? Or is it just put his face into the armpit?
No, just fuck her and not care.
Explore the wilderness means that?
That's all. All she's saying is I want someone to like fuck me and not they like it. Like they just like that I have armpits.
I see. Explore the wildness that's me.
That is me. I am this wild. That's why I say I know what kind of girl this is. Of course she has a moon tattoo. Like you're not, because there's certain girls who are not going to have the hairy armpits.
Right.
It's very sexual. It's all sex. It's also, everyone's like, oh no, I'm just free. It's like, no, it's a sex thing.
Why? Tell me more. Oh, I'm learning.
You're saying I'm free. You're saying like, look at me. I'm this free spirit. Imagine me sexually.
I'm up for everything.
Imagine how free I can be.
Oh my God.
I'm not like these other girls who are restrained to shaved armpits.
I see. I'm not playing a game here.
No, look at me. Look, this girl is a sex, wild sex girl.
She's a party.
But I don't think you'd want to date her.
So is there more from her, Dolo? That's all we got.
So yeah.
Just play it one more time. So let's get the full flavor.
All I'm looking for is a man who's willing to explore the wilderness.
And she's playing with her hair.
Yeah. Titties are out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She knows what she's doing. It has nothing to do with her arm. I mean, her armpit hair is just like, but it's about her titties being out. It's about letting you know that she's got the tattoos, the kind of face, the nose ring, the playing with her hair.
And what do you see on the face?
Oh, the face says I'm a freak. Like, look at me. Like, I'm so freaky.
I'm
up for anything. That's what she's trying to say.
Wow.
Really, like, I didn't even have to see the video. Just from, if you heard her voice, you'd be like, oh, I know what this girl wants. We heard Kathy and them calling earlier. They weren't sounding like this.
Thank God you're in a relationship. Who knows what trouble you get into?
what do you mean? That's exactly, like, it's crazy with somebody. Like, I'm sure if she was here, she would be like, yeah, that's exactly who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe you. It makes sense to me. I don't understand. I don't understand not wanting to be more appealing, though. I don't understand. If most guys don't like that, right? Don't like the hairy armpit. So why do you want to make yourself less appealing?
Most guys don't like you. So the fact that most guys don't like you, you're like, well, I'm going to go with that.
Yep, I'm going to go with that.
Because look, you saw the kind of girl she was. And not to say, I mean, of course, a lot of guys find her attractive. But as far as what she thinks is a top male, whatever that might be in her eyes.
Yeah.
It's like, well, all right, I'm not, those kind of guys maybe aren't into me. But you know what those guys might be into is this, which is true. Because now I've separated myself from the pack of women.
I see.
I'm this kind of girl. I'm a different kind of girl. You know what I mean? At least that's what I see when I see her, is a girl trying to like, are you trying to separate yourself?
Well, the good news for me in both the videos we just watched, I didn't feel sad for these people. Usually I watch these videos, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad for these people. They're so impaired. But I don't feel bad for anybody.
No, I'm still wanting to fuck her.
Yeah, you want to fuck her.
And hang out. She doesn't seem like a fun hang. She seems like a good hang.
Yep, the so-called Indian guys, we're impressed with their ability to...
non-tipping motherfuckers, bro. Those guys have never tipped in their life and they never will.
So who are those guys? What do you see when you look out in the audience?
Oh, those guys.
Are there always a group of guys?
There's always a group of guys, but those guys in particular, because those guys are like... In L.A., they all lived in Pasadena. And they were like Armenian.
Armenian's different than that, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're Armenian. All my friends are Armenian.
But
so.
that energy.
Not just passing it. Glendale.
They live. That's where they live.
What were you doing there?
I would go there to do Ice House Comedy Club.
Okay, right. But you just go through. You just roll through.
You'd roll through. And then also, just man, at the comedy show, the best thing about working there was you saw all these people, like, because it was just all tourists. And so you.
In Pasadena?
No, at the comedy store in L.A.
So when I would work there, then
you start seeing everybody over and over again.
Yeah.
And that was the best part about working there. It's like, oh, wow, you're seeing these same groups of people over. And so I was like, oh, those guys? Yeah. I've seen those guys.
No, the Ice House has that's the San Gabriel Valley. It's a draw from this part of Los Angeles. And it's all locals.
It's usually locals. Yeah. Whereas the downtown, at the West Hollywood, it was all tourists.
Yeah.
You know?
And the Ice House has people that really like comedy, too. They're like committed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those were like comedy nerds, I would say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, especially the people who go to Ice House. You're going because you're a comedy. You love comedy.
When I mentioned that Norm MacDonald bit about Bill Cosby, that was at the Ice House where I saw him do that. Weird. So we've come full circle. Come full circle today. We'll leave it at that. Derek, where do you want people to go?
Oh, you can find me at Spoil the Beans, at Spoil the Beans, like Spoil the Beans on YouTube, Spoil the Beans on Instagram, and then Derek Poston on all social media platforms.
Yes, DericPoston. I said Instagram. It's also Twitter and Facebook.
Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all the same. Just my name, Derek Poston. It'll come
Dude,
right
I'm really fun spending some time with you. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you for having Appreciate me. This was awesome. You terrified me and enlightened me.
But you were on. You were paying attention. I like that. You were into it. So.
Oh, I was very into it.
Yeah, and we talked a little something, and I'm going to come see your comedy. I can't wait.
Please. I love that, man.
For that shoot, we'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.